sunshine. Give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's out, Nick's in. Aaron Rabel doing a long day. Taking over for Nick so that Nick can sit in the chair next to me and we can chop it up
the
for
two
three
chair
hours.
As they call it.
Yeah, the two chair.
The two chair.
Question for you boys.
Yes, sir.
As we continue to talk about all of these things. You think the call volume that Tony Romo received this week on the Corona hotline was higher than normal since the fact that most people thought that Corona beer was somehow associated with this virus? I mean, it's a question.
It's crazy how people always react to that. I remember going to Vegas for a Super Bowl weekend, and that was sponsored by Corona, and that's all I got on Twitter.
Do they keep running the spots in lieu of everything that's going on? Because they even got Kenny Smith involved now, where Corona hotline, Romo here.
I don't know.
Kenny Smith was supposed to be doing it because they were going to lead into March Madness. Talk about a guy that was cashing in on March Madness. And Kenny Smith got the Corona deal with Romo. He got the State Farm deal I told you all about, where they do this mock TNT studio, and they've got a guy that's supposed to be filling in or taking over for Shaq, a guy for Charles, a guy for Kenny, but only Kenny got the commercial. And they came back from it, went to the studio, and Shaq was like, "Kenny, I wonder if you know that my lawyer is going to be calling for me and Chuck because we ain't getting no money."
That's good for Kenny.
Kenny was cashing in.
I wouldn't have expected him to get the sponsor either, to be honest with you. I mean, he's obviously a big name now because the show's been around so long. But, you know, it just seems like Barkley and Shaq probably would have taken most of the priority in that regard. But, yeah.
Interesting question. I thought I was sitting there walking the dog this morning going, for the Corona hotline, for all the people that made the assumptions and associations.
See, I'd have them I would make it a PSA. And Corona, you can, you know, use it as a tax deduction or whatever. But don't even make it a Corona commercial. Just make Tony and Kenny sitting there, one of them washing their hands for like 5 seconds, and the other one go, hey, Tony, dude, COVID-19's out there. You got to be safe. We want to prevent the spread. Let's wash our, and then come up with some dumb song of Kenny and Tony are best friends forever, and we're going to just drink Corona on a beach.
Or if there's a way that there's a hotline for the coronavirus, and you could set it up, instead of calling the Corona hotline, if you got questions about the coronavirus.
No, because that'll just create a giant mass.
Local TV stations were doing phone boards and hotlines so that people could call and ask questions about it.
Whoever writes or helps creates or designs or however you want to call it the Super Bowl commercials, back when Super Bowl commercials like in their prime, they probably should think of something super creative like Aaron is talking about right now. They probably are working on something like that. But I think if they make light of it, like something funny, that would help at the very minimum. But yeah, there's some dummies out there. Most people, though, I feel like they're just doing it for a joke, but I still think Corona is being hurt by it. So,
well, everybody's going to be hurt by it based on the fact that advertisers aren't getting anything close to what they thought they were going to be getting when they signed on the dotted line for March Madness.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Think about, what is it? What's the one with Samuel Jackson, Charles? They got Coach K this year and Spike Lee.
Oh, that must have cost crazy money.
They were looking for a long run. It's not Capital One. Maybe it is.
Yeah.
Is it Capital One?
Yeah.
Five times this year with Coach K. Yeah. Well, that's not going to get as much run. So it's going to be a lot of people dealing with this financially and otherwise. Okay. So we've got calls on the board. Nick, you introduced this before we went to the break.
Sure.
About, you know, who's more to blame for the situation that their league is in right now? Rudy Gobert with the NBA and the coronavirus, Daryl Morey with the NBA and their relationships with China, or Mike Fiers and the controversy created with the Astros and the skiing scandal. Nicholas wants to get in here. What's up, Nicholas? Nicholas, what's up?
Hello.
Go ahead, man.
Hey guys. How are you doing?
Good, good.
What's up, man?
I definitely think it was a Mike Fire situation. I still can't get past it.
I think he was going to say something. He should have said it while he was going on.
We appreciate what you guys think. Okay. We appreciate the phone call. Obviously, it's Mike Fires, right?
I don't know. That's his vote. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think from just a gut passion feeling, the pit in the stomach of all Astros fans is never going to forgive Mike Fiers, and he's going to be top of everyone's list. But when you look at this, it's just like we talk about, it's obviously magnified everything with the cheating scandal because the heart of it is here.
Right.
But when we're talking about the coronavirus, it's nationwide, it's league-wide. You could say, I guess, the epicenter would be Utah and the Jazz because of the two players, but everybody's dealing with it equally.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, there's no right answer. This is obviously an opinion, but obviously you can make one move. You can draft one tweet in the case of Daryl Morey and just completely cause this massive controversy, not just in the sports world, but in general. So I just thought it would be interesting. Now, White Magic is on the HRMP hotline, but do you think he's actually going to pick one, or is he going to pick a new show to pick on?
It could be Clarence.
White Magic, you're on The Usual Suspects. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to comment on the Astro cheating thing. I know everybody's like, dude, this is the biggest scandal to ever hit Houston, anything like that. But to be honest, it's not. David Gal has been cheating us out of good radio from 4 to 7 for about 10 years now.
Told you.
Aaron, this completely contradicts your tweet.
This is a daily thing now.
About your love for the non-sports elements of the Blitz.
He insulted 4 to 7 with the producer of 4 to 7
right
on the
here.
Show. Aaron's not happy with you, White
Magic.
You
may respond, Aaron.
He's not going to. I mean, he would.
I can't dump myself.
That's a good point. Very well played, sir.
Hey, yes. Man, f*** that.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I like that.
All right, we're going to continue to roll. We've covered a lot of the NBA, and there's other stories to get to because there's some good heartfelt stories coming out of some of the bad that's come of this suspension of the season. We'll get to those. Also, some big moves coming in the NFL, or a big move or two that was made that might interest your Houston Texans, amongst other teams. We'll get to that as well as we continue to roll through hour number two of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour number two, three-hour show. Continue to roll through the first half as we have covered a lot of different topics in the first half, or first hour of the show. Now we're getting into some other things. Some news of the day in the NFL. The Chargers have placed the franchise tag on tight end Hunter Henry. Interesting, because a lot of teams had a lot of interest in a very, very good pass catching tight end. So he's out there, but you're going to have to pay dearly because of the fact that with the franchise tag, the ramifications a lot of teams aren't going to want to dabble into, as I would assume they hope to re-sign him. The Detroit Lions have released right tackle Rick Wagner, due to make $9 million this year. So if you're a team in the market for a right tackle, an offensive lineman, Rick Wagner is out there. And here are the two really interesting ones, especially if you're a Texans fan. The Minnesota Vikings released a couple of high-priced veterans today that still have plenty left in the tank. Defensive tackle Linval Joseph, along with cornerback, Xavier Rhodes. Xavier Rhodes 2 years ago was arguably the best corner in the league, reputation and otherwise. Joseph was slated to make 11.7 this year, Rhodes 10.5.
Yeah, I think that's the most interesting one, at least for down here in Houston, right, in terms of the cornerback.
I think both of them are. I think because you don't know the situation going forward with DJ Reader and the defensive line.
Right.
And so if you're going to let Reader walk, and again, we're dealing with Bill O'Brien and, you know, a bottom line that's already been compromised with all the different contracts that he's given out, but you know you're going to either have to sign Reader or replace him, and you know that your corner situation is completely up in the air and in flux with Roby possibly leaving, with Jonathan Joseph being released to be a free agent, with all the different issues that they've got going for them. Those are two positions, and those are two players that could help.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think that's the one that's, you know, those two are the most interesting in terms of the Houston Texans. I think it was expected with the Rick Wagner situation, the $9 million that they were going to save. I think he was coming off like his worst season. I think he was ranked like 47th out of 60 in terms of offensive tackles by the Pro Football Focus. So Hunter Henry, I think that's just a business move, right? He's on a career high season in terms of like receptions. I think it's like 55.
Well,
but I think that was kind of an obvious move for them.
They have to do that, right? Because the one thing that they've got is a calling card, regardless of where they go quarterback wise. Moving on from Phillip Rivers, if it's Tom Brady, or if it's somebody else, you want them feeling comfortable going into the situation knowing they've got as good of weapons offensively as any team in the league. And regardless of whatever happens with the Melvin Gordon situation, you've got Eckler in the backfield. If you have Henry at tight end, and then you have their Williams is their deep guy, and then Allen is their veteran that's just all pro caliber, that you've got the receivers, tight end, and backfield that a lot of quarterbacks are going to want to play with.
Yeah, I mean, Hunter Henry is a guy that you keep, especially he was a second-round pick, but he's definitely made the progression that you would like him to see. And so that's what kind of made him kind of, you know, would have made him a hot commodity. So I think that's the obvious move. I think the Chargers are happy about it. And I think that's the right move you do if you're the Chargers in terms of Hunter Henry. I really like Xavier Rhodes because you never know if this guy has a comeback year. I mean, like a really good season. Sometimes you'll have a dip in your career, especially at cornerback, you know what I mean? It's easier to get burned, I feel like, at that position sometimes than others. So
he took a beating last year
because
people realized he had fallen off. Now, you're right. You don't know if it's a guy trying to play through an injury, because previously, for the last several years, he was highly regarded as one of the best corners in the league. And then all of a sudden, to see him basically get benched late in the season a few times and really fall out of favor with a defense that was highly regarded in part because of him. You bring up an interesting point. You don't know if it's just one of those things where he was playing through injury, or he slipped up, or if he's slipped up to the point where he's lost a step.
Yeah, and I think that's a part of the reason why he's still interesting, because you never know. And I think even a guy like Rick Wagner, who's coming off his worst season, he's going to be in demand by other teams despite coming off his worst season, because there's still past precedent. He still has performed at some point or another, maybe not last season, prior, you know, maybe the season before. And that's going to be enough of a sample size for some coach to say, you know what, maybe I can work with this guy and make him progress. Maybe a change of scenery would be good for both of them. But yeah, I mean, I think you have to at least make the consideration. I don't know what Bill O'Brien is doing. I know our very own Barry Laminack is a massive fan of Bill O'Brien. But yeah, I mean,
here's the thing too. You have to prioritize needs, and then with players that have been making substantial amount of money over the course of their career, whether they have, in the case of, like you mentioned, Rhodes, whether he has maybe lost a step, that's when money isn't as big of an issue, because they've been collecting good checks for the last couple of years, and winning becomes paramount. And also, don't slip up on the revenge factor either. A guy like Xavier Rhodes would love to get back at the Vikings.
Sure.
So with that being said, Lions, Bears, Packers, you play them twice a year. In that's the case. I don't know if that's the same case with Linval Joseph, but you look at that. You look at guys that want to get – Brett Favre wanted to get back at the Packers, so he wanted to play for the Vikings or one of those teams. He didn't want to play where he first was sent to the Jets.
Right.
You know, there's going to be those situations where when you get rid of a guy, revenge is on the top of his mind. When he goes to his next team, he wants that team to have a crack at his old team.
But of those teams, though, I mean, what is the most? I mean,
I think Green Bay could use Rhodes if he's got anything left in the tank, because they need another corner to go on the other side of Alexander, the young kid they got. Defensive tackle, I think Detroit could probably look at him simply because of the fact that there's, you know, Matt Patricia is a defensive guy. And he wants a disruptive defensive line. I don't know. I mean, but here's the thing. They're fair game for everybody now. And Bill O'Brien at least needs to pick up the phone and see what the – because a lot of these guys are going to take a lot less money. We were talking about the fact that O'Brien's been big on the prove-it one-year deals, right?
Right.
So if you pick up the phone and say, hey, look, I don't have a multi-year deal in the range you were making, you got to want to come to a team that's winning with a chance to take it up a notch, we'd love to have you.
Yeah. I mean, 25th overall pick in the 2013 draft. 29 years old, so he's not incredibly old. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not like he's...
Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about in terms of Xavier Rhodes.
Rhodes.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah, in terms of Xavier Rhodes. So, no, I'm with you. It's interesting. It also seems that the NFL is business as usual in terms of the, you know, their league, with an exception of the draft. But outside of that, they have no reason to suspend, postpone, or even cancel their NFL season, because that, I think, would be a whole other situation.
And people are worried about the draft. There's nothing to worry about in the draft. No, you know what?
You're missing out on the first round, and that's it, really.
And
I don't care.
Here's the thing. You don't have the pomp and circumstance and the fanfare of Vegas or all the way that they've done the draft. Look, Nashville did a hell of a job last year. And the kids don't get a chance to go up and shake hands with the commissioner. But you can always make up the picture. But you can do the whole draft online. Sure, ESPN would rather do it a different way, but you can do it that way just to get through the one thing on your calendar year that right now is pressing. Other than that, until you go to training camp at the end of July and some of the OTAs and things like that down the line, you've got a very, very big window before you've got to make any hard decisions.
And I don't even know if it's in their best interest to continue to make statements or respond, make any, you know, on the coronavirus, because it just brings more fear to NFL and football fans about the league. So
couldn't agree more. That's one of those situations where people are saying, why aren't we hearing more from the NFL? Because you don't have to. And from their standpoint, with the reputation of their commissioner and the way that they've handled things, stay out of it. Just say, hey, we're evaluating everything, and at a time down somewhere in the future, we'll address the draft, and then we'll address training camps when we have to and other things. Until then, stay out of it, because it buys you time to gather all the information and see how the coronavirus situation plays out.
Yeah. And Roger Goodell, he's probably happy that the draft is not happening, right? I mean, when's the last time he's been cheered at the NFL draft anyway?
He does get his ass booed a lot.
Every time. Every single time.
Anybody interested in, if you're a Texans fan, of Jimmy Graham? He's also going to be free.
No, I'm not.
Packers are going to cut him loose.
No, I don't want him.
Yeah, I mean, once you sign Fells and you've got wasted all those draft picks on tight ends,
but
over
look
the last
at the quarterbacks
years.
He's worked with now. He's worked with Aaron Rodgers, and he didn't really do anything in Green Bay, right? Nope. He worked with Drew Brees.
Yep. Who and else Russell is, Wilson.
And Russell Wilson. He worked with three amazing quarterbacks.
Aaron Rodgers loves him as a person and really wanted it to work out, but he's lost a step. He can't be what he once was, and that's what the Packers were hoping for. So that's...
For me, he's just a name at this point, and I don't even know if you even consider him a name at this point, considering it's been a while since he's been that relevant.
Yeah, I think that's a guy that's definitely on the downside, so I don't know where he finds his next check coming from, but somebody might take a chance at him. With that being said, second half of the show, still plenty more to talk to. We've got media members that are out there begging players to do interviews to stay relevant. Pretty sure they're going to be relevant no matter what happens with all of this. But we can get to that. We can get to your text messages, your tweets, and, of course, your phone calls. We'll be back with the second half of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Wanna swap like a sauce in a Watts. I don't want to change because I'm good where I'm at. Mob ties so...
G'day, mate. This is Sam Winslow of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick's out, Barry's in. That means Aaron Rabel behind the glass as we spin it into the second half.
That sounded very weird, sir. Nick's out and Barry's in.
Barry's out, Nick's in.
There we go.
Well, you guys are dating, so you're interchangeable. No, oh, not anymore. Not. You broke up. That's
how
right.
do you think Barry Laminek is reacting to the world right now with the coronavirus?
Did you
news?
See the tweet?
No, I haven't. What is he? What is he? I should have been following him.
Yeah, I just saw.
I mean,
a tweet
I follow him,
in
but
the
I just...
last 20 minutes, he's at the store panicking, buying bottled water and Ritz crackers and peanut butter and all this stuff. It's like, dude, you're on vacation in New Mexico.
Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine him having, I can imagine him having like all these like conversations with people he absolutely don't know about their behavior and their hygiene, and probably somebody randomly walking in the grocery store using the restroom, not washing their hands.
Full of like wipes and sanitizer. I'm sure he's freaking out if he runs out of that stuff because he's a germaphobe.
Yeah.
But on the road, why do you need Ritz crackers and bottle water, all the stuff that if you're going to be hunkered down in your house, I get, but you're driving back.
So this is for sure in New Mexico?
You got a Buc-ee's. You got places to stop with things
he's
to get.
Cat food.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know.
Unless maybe his shows got canceled.
Oh, I didn't even think about it, but he would have tweeted that,
yeah,
wouldn't he?
Wouldn't he? You would think so. So some public service announcements and text messages we got during the first half of the show. Most truck drivers normally go to the distribution center when they are delivering goods for grocery stores, but now are making deliveries direct to stores. So as a PSA, truck drivers out there like Pookie and Dre and several of the other guys that have texted into the show, please be courteous and let the 18-wheelers change lanes and get over to the right-hand lane so that they can get to the stores and get you the goods that you need. I appreciate them sending that to us so we can send that to
100%.
You. 100%. Good call there. Corey from Houston says, thanks for keeping me and my crew informed while we're working out here in Midland. I've converted 3 new suspects this week alone. Keep up the great. Dig the show. Appreciate that, Corey. We appreciate you listening and the new suspects. Welcome aboard. Someone here says they work at Minute Maid Park. They shut down access to all employees for a minimum of 2 weeks.
Oh, it's getting worse because President Trump is having a live news conference today, and apparently he's already declared a national emergency due to the coronavirus outbreak. So,
thought he said it wasn't that big of a deal.
Nope, he's live right now, and
really?
He's got a news conference. Adam Schefter's tweeting about it. I just saw the Periscope link. He is live right now having a news conference addressing this whole coronavirus stuff. I never thought I'd be bringing up Trump. Usually I leave that to Barry.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's addressing this whole situation, and yeah, I mean, he's called it a national emergency. He declared a national emergency due to the coronavirus, which I don't know exactly what that means and what that entails. Like, what does that mean?
I think you have to have that kind of declaration for insurance purposes and losses that might be sustained because of ramifications from something like this. If he doesn't make that announcement, it does come into play, I think, in some way when you're talking about insurance and being covered for losses and things like that. So it's possible.
At this point, he's 35 minutes deep because it looks like it started at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 o'clock hour time. So he's probably about 30 or 35 minutes into this speech. Probably something we'll have to look back at later. But
yeah. Pro tip from another suspect that says, if you are in need of toilet paper, don't go where everybody else is going, to the Targets and the grocery stores. Pro tip, Office Depot, Home Depot, Lowe's, and gas stations all sell toilet paper. They should be in stock, and you should be able to pick up what you need.
Or just go to Joel's house, because he's probably stocked up on everything.
My God, yes,
just knock on his door.
No, please don't do that, because then there's a sign on my door that says, don't do that, because the dogs will rip
everything.
Your...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Demetrius with a good public service announcement. Keep in mind the elderly with everything going on with the coronavirus. Everybody's out there protecting themselves and preparing for whatever might happen. In the process, if you have the ability to drop some stuff off, whether it be at a nursing home or other places where they might be able to benefit some of the elderly people, just keep that in mind. Good PSA from Demetrius.
For sure.
We appreciate that.
100.
Yeah, and someone said, if the XFL season is done, does that make the Roughnecks the champs? Undefeated season. Houston team we can be proud of. First of all, you can be proud of them anyway because they started out 5-0. Second of all, someone made the joke, and it's very true. Yes, they are the regular season champs. No, you can't have a parade because you got the coronavirus. So you can't have the gathering of that many people. But they have left the door open that there might be a playoff anyway at some point, so we'll see how it all plays out. But regardless, a very positive first season for the Roughnecks. I was very shocked, and we talked about this yesterday on the show, that they didn't postpone, not suspend. I mean, not cancel, because of the fact that the NFL's not playing. They don't play until preseason in August. You've got plenty of time. You've got a short season. You've already halfway been through it. You have 5 weeks of the regular season and 2 weeks for playoffs, I think it is. So with that being said, you don't have that much to make up where you can let it play out for a month or so and still pick it up in time to finish the season, crown your champ, and then your players still have the ability to sign on with NFL teams.
I actually agree with you. I think the only devil's advocate argument against that is if you do label it a cancel, then maybe, just maybe, you can fend off some of the questions or delay some of the questions until you are ready to make the announcement that, hey, we're starting this thing back up, as opposed to, you know what, we're going to make the suspension and then we're going to circle back in 30 days like in the case for Adam Silver. That just means he has to continue to address the media and he has to keep monitoring the situation. I feel like it kind of prevents you from having to monitor the situation as much, at least in terms of addressing the media. You know, obviously those are two completely different leagues and it's kind of hard to compare the two, you know, mm-hmm. but I mean, I'm with you. Why not just not cancel it? And I'm, you know what, even if you do cancel it, it doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to address the media.
So this is my deal. Cancel versus postpone.
Yeah.
Right? If you had something pressing, say this weekend, say you had a tournament that was just going to be this weekend, I get canceling the Big 12 tournament, the ACC tournament, the SEC tournament. I get canceling that. Okay? But from an NCAA perspective, because it's brought up so many questions and unanswered questions about eligibility, about seniors, about guys potentially leaving and they're not playing their last game on the court, they're finding out, you know, at practice or wherever it is, would you not postpone the NCAA tournament to see how long it's going to take to get this entire virus under control? Because even if you are in late April and you pick up the tournament, you think about it. It takes what, 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Start to finish on weekends, Thursday night through Sunday nights until you get to the Final Four. So essentially, kids are still in school. You still have a chance to resurrect the season. You can get ready to play, and you can still pick it up because there are more questions than answers in terms of team by team. And there's some great stories out there. Look, you've got a lot of teams that are senior laden that really could have been great stories and really thought in their minds they could have done some damage this year in the tournament. And now those dreams are shattered forever, regardless of whether they do something with the eligibility enough. Take a team like Brigham Young. Ex-NBA player Mark Pope's the head coach. Brigham Young hasn't been to an NCAA tournament since Jimmer Fredette. But they have a senior-laden team, and they're pretty damn good.
Yeah, and those are the stories that a lot of people appreciate. And you would want them to, you always want to see them go a little bit far. You want to see those type of teams at least pull off one or two types of upsets, unless you're a fan of one of those teams, those opposing teams. But no, I totally understand it. Look, I'm not going to say the University of Houston was going to win the NCAA tournament, but who brought up, was it you or was it Barry that brought up that story where they listed like four or five sleeper teams, like smaller programs that could potentially not just appear to the Final Four, but potentially win the entire championship. So there's a bunch of smaller teams and smaller programs right now that are going to be thinking to themselves, man, what would have happened if none of this happened? What would have happened if the tournament just started like it was supposed to?
You know, we talked about U of H and the fact that Kelvin Sampson doesn't have a Rob Gray type player this year that's the do-it-all go-to guy where you just give him the ball and get out of the way. But you know what they do have? They've got five guys that can lock down on defense. And when you get into a tournament situation, the one thing that travels well everywhere, we've talked about this, is defense. And if you can go, whether you're playing an early start on the West Coast and teams aren't used to that, or you can go where, you know that you have the ability to double a team's best player because your defenders rotate so well. They could have done some things. They could have made some hay. They could have, you know, really created some havoc that isn't going to be there. That's what you miss. I miss the fact that, look, I understand because of what's going on, they had to do what they had to do. But I was holding out hope that even if they didn't do it in March, per se, that we'd still have the tournament at some point.
Yeah, they have five players that have to work together, that have to play defense, that know about the grind and know about hard work and know about doing the dirty work on the court. Those are the type of players that are going to be absolutely upset and devastated that the tournament is canceled. And I can see why. I can see why. Because all of them, even if they don't, even if the University of Houston was not even going to get past the first round, they still are going to be asking themselves a question, why, you know, what would have happened had we just been able to play? And it's an unfortunate situation. It's an unfortunate situation. But yeah. I think it's a tough decision for all these big programs and small programs to make.
No doubt about it. And every league, too. I mean, it's decisions, but I would say border on like the Masters today. The Masters was postponed. Now, you don't know if they'll cancel it later on down the road, but for a tournament that has that prestige, that has that following, you don't want to cancel it, because what happens if they do find some way to get in front of this virus in the next couple of weeks, and you know that you can still play a tournament that everybody looks forward to seeing?
We know Josh Rapp doesn't care about no virus when it comes down to that.
Well, I'm a golfer, too, and I've been to the Masters, and I look forward to it every year, so I hope they don't cancel it. Hopefully you guys won't cancel us. We're going to continue to roll through hour number two of the three-hour program. Don't go anywhere. Much more of the suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Back, rolling through hour number two of the three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be on this quirky FEF Friday in the big city. F for fun, F for funny, with Barry being out, no comedian of the week this week, but still chopping it up as we get through the coronavirus and other things. As Nick has mentioned, the president is currently addressing the nation, what did he say, two very big words?
Everybody's making fun of him for those two words, national emergency. Everybody's just making fun of him and saying, oh, look, two big words. I saw another tweet that said, handshakes at the coronavirus press conference is really something. Apparently everybody's shaking. I didn't see the video, but apparently apparently everybody's walking around shaking hands. It's like that the priest, he with all the coronavirus news, he shook the hands of over 500 worshipers.
Parishioners. Yeah.
And Well,
and that's the thing, too. I mean, where was it? It was in one of the foreign countries where they said they're currently recommending that everybody stop shaking hands for the time being.
The distance.
And then he turned around and shook the hands of the guy that was emceeing the press conference. It's like, what are you doing?
Fist bumps just seem too informal for people.
Well, the woman who gave that speech, that made that video about, hey, don't touch your face, Yeah. And then licked her finger to turn the page.
Yep. It's just crazy. And you know what? And of course, my biggest fears, and I heard AJ talking about the fact that with his kids that spring break was extended. Well, Lisa and I were talking about the fact that Taylor's four. As much as the school hates to hear me say this, it's not school at this point. It's like a daycare. So we really need it. But Fort Bend ISD decided to postpone classes or suspend classes for 2 weeks. And Lisa and I both looked at each other and said, here it comes. They're going to do this too. And lo and behold, they waited till Friday afternoon till class was over. And they decided for the next 2 weeks, they're closing Taylor School.
I made reference to the whole Dr. Oz, Dr. Drew, coronavirus show that they're doing to kind of keep everybody educated and stuff like that. And they made reference to something similar to what you're saying right now. And they're saying, you know, like the affluent schools, you know, they would be okay with closing them down in terms of just public schools. But some of the inner city or, you know, lower income areas, those schools are a place of safety, a place where they get food and a daycare for a lot of those lower income people.
Food is big.
So they're actually encouraging not to close those type of public schools because it's so important for them.
A lot of low income and inner city kids, I've heard Lisa said the same thing when she was growing up. She was like, we didn't have much. So I looked forward to being in class because I knew I was going to get a warm meal. And I can totally relate to that, too. The fact that a lot of people aren't thinking about that aspect. I get that they're worried about the massive, you know, numbers of just plain humanity getting together in classrooms and in a large school setting. That's one thing. But I don't think they're thinking about this thoroughly enough in terms of for some kids, that's the only meals they're going to get each day.
That's the problem. That's what it was. And I didn't even I've heard that before, but I didn't think of it in this particular crisis. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, they actually need to go to school. So It's a different situation depending on what part of the world you're in, but yeah, I just thought that was interesting. So what are you going to do now? You got Taylor for 2 weeks.
I don't. Lisa does. She's got both kids. It's on her. I'll do my part until I leave for work. Boy, I hope there's a lot of videos to shoot next week.
I'm going to make up that you have to be quarantined to the office.
Boy, I hate that.
You know what? I just got to take a sleeping bag, and I'm just going to stay at the office, and then, you know.
Do a self-quarantine at the Doubletree Hotel across the street or something like that.
I definitely ain't staying here.
That's not going to fly?
No. Now, here's the other thing, guys. So we hear all about all the different leagues, canceling seasons, suspending play, doing all these different things. Where I didn't think that we would see schools, obviously, did you think that it would hit late-night television and an entire network? That's the crazy thing. According to several outlets, Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers and NBC has suspended production on the late night shows.
Yep.
So that no more live studio, no more live production. They say they're looking out for their employees.
Dr. Oz did the same thing.
I saw Lisa watching The View today and no studio audience. That's one thing. But to suspend production, and guess who else? FS1. Maybe that does everybody a favor for some of the idiots that we don't have to listen to on a daily basis, but FS1 is now suspending production on all of their live studio shows for the time being.
Well, in case of The View, they're probably doing the audience a favor because that show is just hot garbage. But all the other,
stand it either.
The other shows, I mean, I can see why they're doing it.
Here's the FS1 announcement. Out of an abundance of caution, we've made the decision to suspend production of our live FS1 daily studio shows through at least Friday, March 20th. Our top priority is the health and safety of our employees. We'll continue to monitor the situation and adjust accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, look, whether the media was successful in getting everybody scared or not, it worked. You know what I mean? Like, whatever, if you want to blame the media for doing all this, it worked because people are taking precautions. You know, I don't feel like I'm panicking. I haven't even gone to the grocery store yet. Like, I, you know, all I've done
is eat out all the time. So you don't have to.
Yeah, I do. Normally I do, but I do have my shakes that I always get from there. I'm terrified to go to like the produce section and touch anything.
I think that's the one thing where people, two things, buffets. We talked about that.
Yeah.
But then the people that go to grocery stores and they've got to like fondle every bit of fruit and vegetables to get the right one. Now's the time to kind of ease off that little idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, I live by myself, so I don't really have to go as much. I'm okay. I'll figure something out, but I'm just not in panic mode like most people. I'm just more about the precautions and travel and stuff like that and businesses.
Skip. This announcement means we got to skip. We're going to be skipping for at least until March 20th, skip. We're out, skip. Shannon's going to have some time off. Plenty more time. Boy, talk about a guy that went off the deep end on Twitter.
Who?
Boy, he's hammering the president. He's hammering everybody. Shannon Sharp.
Oh, yeah. He don't care.
He's been firing it up lately. So there's your latest in terms of, I feel like we're doing school closings. There's your latest on suspensions and cancellations. FS1, all live studio production, and both Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon's shows will now no longer be in production until this thing starts clearing up. So speaking of clearing, what's the clearance, Clarence? As our man Clarence chimes in here to talk a little bit about the coronavirus. What's up, Clarence?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
All right, so here's a question. The only two sports that's left is UFC, which they are taking major precautions.
Right.
And the WWE. Now, you're hearing about, just now you mentioned, FS1 and all those guys, they're shutting down productions. And they're only a couple of, what, I've never been to one of those, so a few hundred people will go, maybe 100 at the max. Now, here we are talking about WrestleMania, which is over 70,000 people. And the officials of Tampa said they're going to leave it up to the WWE. And then they said that they're going to monitor the situation, but things are going to go on as planned. Do you think they should even have it or postpone it?
I'm checking right now, but to my understanding, the UFC is not going to have fans. They're just going to move it to the Las Vegas Apex Center, and there will be no fans spectating.
So I would assume there's going to be pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's
either, and I heard AJ bring up the WWE thing. I mean, that's the interesting thing, because when you think about it, it's Vince McMahon. If Vince McMahon did to what he did with the XFL, you got to believe that he's at least going to be leaning towards doing the right thing. Though you're right, Clarence, it is 70,000 plus. It is a huge money making machine that is grossly popular. But I think,
but you need to think that it's even worse for WrestleMania, because we're talking about people coming from all over the world just to be there.
I get that, Clarence, but
about different cities.
I get that, but you want to make sure that there's going to be future events, and you want to make sure that you keep everybody safe. So for the time being, the fact that you just said alone, the one number that I was going to emphasize, which is that's 70,000 people, a mass of humanity in one building at one time. That is exactly the opposite of what anybody is encouraging right now. And that's exactly what no one wants to see happen. So whether they do it sooner rather than later, and to your point, they should do it sooner to make sure that people that are making travel arrangements or have plans can change them. But I just right. personally think that that's one that he's got to come to his senses quickly and make it a decision to postpone that.
You got, I guess he, I mean, he's on a, he's cutting it short because it's April 5th, the WrestleMania. So what, you've got a little less than a month to make a decision. Now they made a move to, they made a decision to move SmackDown because of the coronavirus, but they haven't made it. This actually, they were supposed to decide on whether or not they were going to postpone or cancel WrestleMania yesterday, I think. And they didn't make that call. So that's a really big event. They're probably trying to salvage it. I mean, and you're right. It is. And in, that's the reason why I was told South by Southwest was so quick to cancel their event, because I think over 20, maybe even 25% of the people that visit that convention are international. So I see. I think you have a good point, Clarence. I just don't know if it's a situation where Vince McMahon is trying to save, you know, the biggest event that they have, right? Or he's, you know, he's just cutting it close because he does have a little bit of time, right? He's got a little over 3 weeks to really make a decision. I don't know. I mean, I think in a week or two, or even a day or two, they might have to circle back to the media and make a statement again. You never know. You never know how this thing evolves in 24 or 40. And again, I'm not trying to cause panic or be CNN. I'm just saying, you never know how this thing evolves in 2 days. All sports have been pretty much canceled, so. Italy, I mean, all the boxing events there.
Yeah.
I mean,
Italy suspended everything, and they had to, because this thing was really,
because they got overwhelmed at hospitals.
Had the most cases, and yeah, they had the most serious outbreak. So we'll see what we got. We have plenty more to get to, final hour of the show. We've got a lot going on. We've got a lot of things coming to the forefront right now in the news as well. We'll try our best to get as much to you in the next 60 minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.